Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody.
It must be Saturday night again around here, and time for yet another night with Daddy G. This is Gary Moore, along with Starzan and Curly and George and Groucho and whoever else I may be able to pull out of my sleeve or elsewhere. E-cocktails are ready. The chocolate fountain is ready. The only things missing have been you, so come on in and get ready for yet another night with Daddy G. Yeah.
Well, who's on first?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you.
This is a gala day for you.
Well, a gala day is enough for me. I don't think I can handle it anymore.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Grotto as you come showing up. What a week, huh? We had a pretty good week this week. We had, we had two possumites with birthdays this week. Possumites and regular Grottoites. And that was Professor R.J. Gumby, of course, and the lovely Reverend Wendy, who is fashionably late, as usual. And I expect her along directly, but happy birthday, you two. And, we have a bit of a public service announcement to make. On Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which, of course, is the center of the universe, Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, it's been requested by a friend of Gumby's, John Laurie, I think is what the guy's name was. I'll double-check that. Bear with me a second. John Lurie, I guess. It's a friend of Gumby's. He's a musician and quite a talented guy. Anyway, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday for 3 minutes. Their request is for everyone to get off your butt and start dancing, okay? Just dance, move around, and put on some music if you want to, and just get up and move around for 3 minutes, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, wherever you are. If you're on Central, it would be 3 o'clock, or 4 o'clock. If you're on Mountain, it would be 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock on the West Coast. And let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So there you go. 3 minutes, off your butt, start dancing. I'll be on the air with a healing fountain. So the intro is 6 minutes long, so I'll dance during the intro of it. Every Monday night. Okay, that's what he's saying. And, it's just it's good for the body and the mind and the soul. And I guess everyone that'll lighten the hell up, Lighten the hell up. Okay, so that's out of the way. Carol Emerald released her new single this week. Cairo Emerald released a new single this week off of her second album called The Shocking Miss Emerald, and we're going to play that here straight away and get on with some of their music as well. So as you're showing up, let's find it. Okay, there it is. The name of the tune is called Tangled Up, and it's the first single off the second new album called The Shocking Miss Emerald. And I suggest you get over to iTunes or Amazon or wherever you get your music and pick up a copy. Cairo Emerald's second album. Here we go. This is off the second album, Tangled Up. Starzan loves this. Tangled Up, the new single off of Cairo Emerald's second album, The Shocking Miss Emerald. Welcome all y'all as you come showing up. Let's hear from George Carlin.
First thing on my list tonight, airport security. Tired of this shit. There's too much of it. There's too much security at the airport. I'm tired of some guy with a double-digit IQ and a triple-digit income rooting around inside of my bag for no reason and never finding anything. Haven't found anything yet. Haven't found one bomb in one bag. And don't tell me, well, the terrorists know their bags are going to be searched, so now they're leaving their bombs at home. There are no bombs. The whole thing is fucking pointless. And it's completely without logic. There's no logic at all. If you didn't take a weapon on board, relax. After you've been flying for about an hour, they're going to bring you a knife and fork. They actually give you a fucking knife. It's only a table knife, but you could kill a pilot with a table knife. Might take you a couple of minutes, you know. Especially if he's hefty, huh? Yeah, but you could get the job done if you really wanted to kill the prick. Shit, there's a lot of things you could use to kill a guy with. You could probably beat a guy to death with the Sunday New York Times, couldn't you? Or suppose you just had really big hands. Couldn't you strangle a flight attendant? Shit, you could probably strangle two of them, one with each hand. You know, if you were lucky enough to catch them in that little kitchen area before they give out the fucking peanuts, you know? But you could get the job done if you really cared enough. So why is it they allow a man with big, powerful hands to get on board an airplane? I'll tell you why. They know he's not a security risk because he's already answered the three big questions. Question number one, did you pack your bags yourself? No. Carrot Top packed my bag. He and Martha Stewart and Florence Henderson came over to the house last night, fixed me a lovely lobster Newburgh, gave me a full body massage with sacred oils from India, performed a four-way around the world, and then they packed my bag. Next question. Have your bags been in your possession the whole time? No. Usually the night before I travel, just as the moon is rising, I place my suitcases out on the street corner and leave them there unattended for several hours. Just for good luck. Next question. Has any unknown person asked you to take anything on board? Well, what exactly is an unknown person? Surely everyone is known to someone. In fact, just this morning, Kareem and Youssef Ali Ben Gaba seemed to know each other quite well. They kept joking about which one of my suitcases was the heaviest. And that's another thing they don't like at the airport, jokes. You know? Yeah, you can't joke about a bomb. Well, why is it just jokes? What about a riddle? How about a limerick? How about a bomb anecdote? You know, no punchline, just a really cute story. Or suppose you intended the remark not as a joke, but as an ironic musing. Are they prepared to make that distinction? Why, I think not. And besides, who's to say what's funny? Airport security is a stupid idea, it's a waste of money, and it's only there for one reason, to make white people feel safe. That's all. The illusion. The feeling and illusion of safety. Because the authorities know they can't make an airplane completely safe. Too many people have access. You'll notice the drug smugglers don't seem to have a lot of trouble getting their little packages on board, do they? No, and God bless them too. And by the way, an airplane flight shouldn't be completely safe. You need a little danger in your life. Take a fucking chance once in a while, will you? What are you going to do, play with your prick for another 30 years? What, are you going to read People magazine and eat at Wendy's till the end of time? Take a fucking chance. Besides, even if they made all of the airplanes completely safe, the terrorists would simply start bombing other places that are crowded. Porn shops, crack houses, titty bars, and gangbangs. You know, entertainment venues. The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment. Especially after your stupid fucking economy collapses. all around you, and the terrorists come out of the woodwork, and you'll have anthrax in your water supply and sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city, and I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a fucking chance. Put a little fun in your life. To me, terrorism is exciting. It's exciting. I think the very idea that you can set off a bomb in a marketplace and kill several hundred people is exciting and stimulating, and I see it as a form of entertainment. Entertainment, that's all it is. Yeah. But I also know that most Americans are soft and frightened and unimaginative, and they don't realize there's such a thing as dangerous fun. And they certainly don't recognize a good show when they see one. I have always been willing to put myself at great personal risk for the sake of entertainment. And I've always been willing to put you at great personal risk for the same reason. As far as I'm concerned, all of this airport security, all the searches, the screenings, the cameras, the questions, it's just one more way of reducing your liberty and reminding you that they can fuck with you anytime they want. As long as you put up with it. As long as you put up with it. Here's another slogan. Here's another slogan you run into all the time. God bless America. Once again, respectfully, I say to myself, what the fuck does that mean? God bless America? Is that a request? Is that a demand? Is that a suggestion? Politicians say it at the end of every speech, as if it were some sort of verbal tic that they can't get rid of. God bless you and God bless America. God bless you and God bless America. I guess they figure if they leave it out, someone's going to think they're bad Americans. Let me tell you a little secret about God, folks. God does not give a flying fuck about America, okay? He doesn't care. He never cared about this country. He never has. He never will. He doesn't care about this country any more than he cares about Mongolia, Transylvania, Pittsburgh, the Suez Canal, or the North Pole. He simply doesn't care, okay? He doesn't care. Listen. Hey, there are 200 countries in the world now. Do these people honestly think that God is sitting around picking out his favorites? Why would he do that? Why would God have a favorite country? And why would it be America out of all the countries? Because we have the most money? Because he likes our national anthem? Maybe it's because he heard we have 18 delicious flavors of classic rice-a-roni. It's delusional thinking. It's delusional thinking. And Americans are not alone with these sort of delusions. Military cemeteries around the world are packed with brainwashed, dead soldiers who were convinced God was on their side. America prays for God to destroy our enemies. Our enemies pray for God to destroy us. Somebody's going to be disappointed. Somebody's wasting their fucking time. Could it be everyone? If people want to say God bless America, that's their business. I don't care. But here's what I don't understand. If they say God bless America, presumably they believe in God. And if they do, they must have heard God loved everyone. That's what he said. He loved everyone and he loved them equally. So why would these people ask God to do something that went against his own teachings? You know what these God bless America people ought to do? They ought to check with that Jesus fellow they're so crazy about. They're always talking about what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? They don't want to know so they can do it. They just want to know so they can tell other people to do it. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. He would have got up on the top of the Empire State Building and said, God bless everyone around the world forever and ever till the end of time. That's what Jesus would have done, and that's what these people should do, or else they should admit that God bless America is really just some sort of an empty slogan with no real meaning except for something vague like, good luck. Good luck, America. You're on your own, which is a little bit closer to the truth. Customs. Swearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand on the Bible, you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture?
This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand on the Bible, let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pockets. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down, or backward, or both, and you swear to tell the truth on an upside down backward Bible. Would that count? Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside down backward Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me. If they said to me, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God, I'd say, yeah. I'll tell you about as much truth as the people who wrote that fucking Bible. How do you like that? Huh? Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. It's kids. Swearing to God is kid stuff. Did you know, remember when you were a kid, if you told another kid something he didn't quite believe, he'd say, you swear to God? I would always say, yeah, I swear to God, even if I was lying. Why not? What's going to happen if I lie? Nothing. Nothing happens if you lie, unless you get caught, and that's a whole different story. Sometimes a kid would think he was being slick with me, and he'd say, you swear on your mother's grave? I'd say, yeah, why not? First of all, my mother was alive. She didn't even have a grave. Second of all, even if she was dead, what's she going to do, rise from the grave and come and haunt me? Come and haunt me? All because I told a lie to an 8-year-old? Get fucking real, will you? Sometimes I would say, I swear on my mother's tits. Kids are impressed with things like that. I mean, I don't care about my mother's tits either. I don't care if they fell off. Fuck her. Not my problem. They're your tits, Ma. You keep an eye on them. Swearing to God doesn't mean anything. Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because Bible or no Bible, God or no God, if it suits their purposes, people are going to lie in court. The police do it all the time. All the time. Yes, they do. It's part of their job to protect, to serve, and to commit perjury whenever it supports the state's case. Swearing on the Bible is just one more way of controlling people and keeping them in line, and it's one more thing that holds us back as a species. Here's one more item for you, the last in our civics book, rights. Boy, everyone in this country is always running around yammering about their fucking rights. I have a right. You have no right. We have a right. They don't have a right. Folks, I hate to spoil your fun, but there's no such thing as rights, okay? They're imaginary. We made them up, like the boogeyman. The three little pigs, Pinocchio, Mother Goose, shit like that. Rights are an idea. They're just imaginary. They're a cute idea. Cute. But that's all. Cute and fictional. But if you think you do have rights, let me ask you this. Where do they come from? People say, well, they come from God. They're God-given rights. Oh, fuck, here we go again. Here we go again. The God excuse, the last refuge of a man with no answers and no argument, it came from God. Anything we can't describe must have come from God. Personally, folks, I believe that if your rights came from God, he would have given you the right to some food every day, and he would have given you the right to a roof over your head. God would have been looking out for you. God would have been looking out for you. You know that? He wouldn't have been worried about making sure you have a gun so you get drunk on Sunday night and kill your girlfriend's parents. But let's say it's true. Let's say God gave us these rights. Why would he give us a certain number of rights? The Bill of Rights in this country has 10 stipulations, okay? 10 rights. And apparently God was doing sloppy work that week because we've had to amend the Bill of Rights an additional 17 times. So God forgot a couple of things, like slavery. Just fucking slipped his mind. But let's say God gave us the original 10. He gave the British 13. The British Bill of Rights has 13 stipulations. The Germans have 29. The Belgians have 25. The Swedish have only 6. And some people in the world have no rights at all. What kind of a fucking goddamn God-given deal is that? No rights at all? Why would God give different people in different countries different numbers of different rights? Boredom? Amusement? Bad arithmetic? Do we find out at long last, after all this time, that God is weak in math skills? Doesn't sound like divine planning to me. Sounds more like human planning. Sounds more like one group trying to control another group. In other words, business as usual in America. Now, if you think you do have rights, one last assignment for you. Next time you're at the computer, get on the internet, go to Wikipedia. When you get to Wikipedia, in the search field for Wikipedia, I want you to type in Japanese Americans 1942, and you'll find out all about your precious fucking rights, okay? All right. You know about it. You know about it. Yeah. In 1942, there were 110,000 Japanese American citizens in good standing, law-abiding people who were thrown into internment camps simply because their parents were born in the wrong country. That's all they did wrong. They had no right to a lawyer, no right to a fair trial, no right to a jury of their peers, no right to due process of any kind. The only right they had, right this way, into the internment camps. Just when these American citizens needed their rights the most, their government took them away. And rights aren't rights if someone can take them away. They're privileges. That's all we've ever had in this country is a bill of temporary privileges. And if you read the news even badly, you know that every year the list gets shorter and shorter and shorter. You see how similarly? Yeah. Sooner or later, the people in this country are going to realize the government does not give a fuck about them. Government doesn't care about you or your children or your rights or your welfare or your safety. It simply doesn't give a fuck about you. It's interested in its own power. That's the only thing, keeping it and expanding it wherever possible. Personally, when it comes to rights, I think one of two things is true. I think either we have unlimited rights or we have no rights at all. Personally, I lean toward unlimited rights. I feel, for instance, I have the right to do anything I please. But if I do something you don't like, I think you have the right to kill me. So where are you going to find a fairer fucking deal than that? So the next time some asshole says to you, I have a right to my opinion, you say, oh yeah, well I have a right to my opinion, and my opinion is you have no right to your opinion. Then shoot the fuck and walk away. Thank you.
R.I.P. George Carlin, still carrying the message, you know. I had my very first radio boss back in the 70s in Phoenix, Arizona at KDKB, 93.3 FM, rocking Arizona. He was the owner and the first general manager, the program director, and he pioneered the whole format, actually. His name was William Edward Compton, Bill Compton. And he would do an air check, and at the end of his air check, he would say, have a good night, peace, brothers and sisters. He's a total hippie, total visionary. Peace, brothers and sisters, and remember, thou art God. And that kind of stuck with me, you know. It's so true that you are God. Not these God-given rights. You are God. You are that which you call God. To put that a different way, you are the way the universe has become aware of itself, and you did it with your experience. Let's hear from Foss Tony. This switchboard is slow tonight.
checks out. And get ready to move your feet. Wherever you are, you will be a part of it.
Hopefully you're in the grotto with Gaddy G.
So get ready.
I'm going to start things off with a little Spanish moon. Little Feet, welcome to the Full Moon Show, everyone. It's a full moon in the grotto. Of course, there's always a lot of full moons in the grotto. Marvelous night for moon dance.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. You know the song to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Yet I know now the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. When you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time you just travel inside, then I know how much you want me that you can't hide. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love?
Tarzan's agreeing to that one. We'll get to altitude gradually tonight.
Bye. everybody here is out of sight. But they don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight.
Everybody dancing in the moonlight. Everybody feeling warm and right. It's such a fine.
I haven't done this one in forever. Stay with me. I got a tape five trifecta coming up.
Yeah. Now that you've found the funk, you'll have to swing.
Have a little more Club Dis Malugas later on in the show. So get it up. You're in the grotto. The chocolate fountain is open. I'm ready for an E cocktail. How about you? Okay, you cool cats in town.
The dogs are sleeping. She's leaving the cave and the wheels are turning. Dancing on ice, but the temperature's rising. She steps in the club and the walls are burning. There's a cool cat in town, never settles down. She loves chasing the dogs around. There's a new kid around, and she knows she is bound to be the leader of the whole rat pack, and she won't wait for the return of the Mac. There's a cool cat in town, never going down. One day she's even heading for the crown. A cool cat in town.
Till they all start swaying. Down in the club where the joint is jumping. The birds and the bees and the hip chicks are swinging. There's a cool cat in town, never settles down. She loves chasing the dogs around. There's a new kid around, and she knows she is bound to be the leader of the whole rat pack, and she won't wait for the return of the man. There's a cool cat in town, never going down. One day she's even heading for the crown. A cool cat in town.
Show the big dogs what to do. Around who don't like some cats in town, a cool kid around, but a cool cat in town. Oh, yeah, baby.
Yo, DJ,
your DJ has only just begun.
Oh yeah, we're just getting started. Someone pass me a soul, will ya? So delicious. Tape 5. Likes those souls. Soul's Delicious. Tape 5 again, Madame Coquette. A little Cherry Pop and Daddy Zoot Suit Riot. Just for you, Larissa.
Whispering in the trees, it's too sad and then they're only pipes and chains and swinging hands. Who's your daddy? Yes, I am. Fat cat came to play. Now you can't run fast enough. You best stay away when the pushers come to shove. brown-eyed man, stray cat fronting on an eight-piece band. Cut me a Sammy and you understand, in my veins hot music ran. You got me in a sway, and I want to swing you down.
Stage two is burning right along. We're nearly at altitude. You know, we're headed to that super full moon, you know.
I think I'm about ready to sing it.
Get up. Grotto.
Junior's great. The street.
one more. I don't care. I like these guys. Always have. So does Tarzan, apparently.
song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, in other words, I love you.
This one's by special request.
Here you go, Isa. Full Moon by Sonata Arctica. out running away and going crazy on the full moon. But where were they going?
Sir, there's no other.
Without ever knowing the way. Time for a little pamplemousse.
Think you need some money or honey? That's just funny, cause I got none. And if you just want conversation, go somewhere in the nation, not in my house. But if you think you need some loving, that's fine.
Anytime with you, Natalie.
You need some money, well, you can't have mine. And if you want some conversation, try a pickup line. But if you think you need some loving, that's fine. If you think you need a shrink, you But if you think you need some loving, well, that's fine.
Private Sad Sack, what are you doing in the heart of the Belgian Congo?
Belgian Congo? I knew I shouldn't have turned left on Vine Street.
20 girls that ride nothing. Johnson all day long.
Johnson must get an awful lot of mail, huh? Why do they write Johnson? I happen to know Johnson. He can't even read. Besides that, he's a married man. Does Mrs. Johnson get wind of this?
No, but Johnson has all the necessary loops and swirls and straight lines.
If you think Johnson has them, you should see Mrs. Johnson.
You know what? What the fuck doesn't begin to cover that?
Who are you? And will you be my friend?
No. No, I won't. Anyway.
Okay. Time for some flying squirrel. Let's get driving with Pink Martini. Stay with me. I've got some Russian Red and Imelda May and Carl Emerald. Things are just warming up in the old grotto on the old Daddy G show. And digs these drums. Thank you. Russian Red, The Sun, The Trees. Tonight, got a full moon happening, along with Imelda May.
Love your body and soul. My hands feel sticky and my head's eyes cold. My silver days sour and my thoughts days sweet. I wanna lay down, but I just can't sleep. And I can't get no.
Thank you.
This moon is enough to give everyone tainted love. Walking in the midnight, in the moonlight.
I go walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I go walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I go walking after midnight, searching for you. I got to see a reaper willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he is crying for me. And as the stars are gloomy, now he's whispered to me, I'm lonesome. Midnight, out in the moonlight, just hoping you may be.
opera.
Sorry about that. It was the wrong one. Last call for Geek Cocktails. I want to thank you all for joining me, even though I wasn't coming apart. Love y'all. You are. Safely, don't worry about cleaning up. Tarzan will take care of that.
Start to rise where they play calm.
Thanks for coming and seeing me and rocking on the grotto.
You walk over, softly moving past the guards. The stakes are getting higher. You can feel it in your heart. He calls your bluff. He is the ace. You never thought he'd play that much. And now it's more than all his cards you want to touch. You'll never know if winning this could really be enough. Take a look beyond the moon, you'll see the stars. And when you look around, you know the room by heart. I have never dreamed. Have you ever dreamed a night like this?
Can you even hear? Okay. Have you seen him to dance? Het is een beetje warm, maar dit nummer kan het. Het heet Stak. En wie het vindt in het liedje, het woord, die krijgt een biertje. En een singeltje.
Okay, give it up for Dan Harris, and an alien.
warm. Ik vond het fantastisch, echt waar. Bedankt. En tot ziens.
Y'all have a good night. Thanks for joining me. Drive safely. And last call for e-cocktails. Good night, everybody. I love y'all.
And that's all, folks.